Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hello again, this is Steve, and it's time for another Spectrum program, and we've been to the movies a couple of times in recent weeks. Guess what? We're going back to the movies. This time, we have a guest, and I love your name. So tell us how you got your name. It's Jingjing.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. So my name is Jingjing Tan, and my last name means the soil.
Right.
And my first name, Jingjing, it's repeated, and it means to grow, to flourish. And I just learned the other day that it also means the essence.
Oh, wow.
So the essence of things. So.
Well, we actually met only briefly a while back at the Queens Film Festival, Queens World Film Festival, and you have a contribution that you've made toward that festival in the form of a short film. So before we get to your short film and how that all fleshes out, let's get to know you a little bit better. You kind of have one foot on the boat, one on the dock in terms of heritage. You grew up in Texas.
I did.
But were you born in the U.S. or born in China?
I was born in China.
Okay. Tell me about your family. Where were they from?
So I'm from the northeast of China. And it's very cold there.
Like Harbin in that area?
Harbin area, a little south of there, very north of Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cold. Grew up eating sauerkraut. I remember refrigerators coming to my hometown for the first time, you know, and having Coca-Cola for the first time because we didn't have that.
A small town?
Yeah, not a very small town, but not, I mean, like, I would say like a metropolitan, like something you think like San Francisco,
right,
or even LA, you know, but not a lot of, I mean, at the time I was born in 1986, so there's public buses, you know, so it's not like a farm. It wasn't, mm-hmm. It was like high rises.
What's the name of the town? Of
it's the called Fushun, and it actually doesn't exist anymore.
Really? So nobody can find it on the map if they wanted to.
Yeah, because, you know, China's, they combine these small cities into big cities, so it's part of Shenyang now.
Okay.
So it's Fushun is no longer.
Okay.
My grandmother was actually born in Hunan area as well, and she lived in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but they were kicked out of Beijing,
well,
and they were sent to the...
there's a long line of people that have that same
story. Yeah. So they were kicked out, and they went to Harbin, and then moved down south a little bit to Fushun.
So how did your family end up moving to the U.S. and Texas, of all places?
Sure. My father really believed in democracy, and so he always had that dream to come to America. So he did. He majored in chemistry, and he got his master's in New Mexico, actually. And that's what brought him over. But I think he always had a desire to learn English and to leave the country that he was born in.
Now, I know you as a filmmaker because that's how we met, but you've got quite a science background as well. Tell us about your test tubes and your slide rules.
Yeah, I studied biomedical engineering, and I went to a lot of science fairs growing up, and I actually started my career in aerospace. So I used to build jet engines at Pratt & Whitney in Hartford, Connecticut.
And does any of that knowledge still linger or carry over into the technology of filmmaking?
I think for sure. I mean, it's more just my personality. I just want to know and learn and understand how to do everything. So I definitely have an interest in cameras and how they work and what kind of cameras they are and how to best utilize them for what kind of stories.
When did the film bug bite?
It bit actually a long time ago, and it actually bit me in China when I was about 8 years old. And it was from watching the first American film. It was my grandmother and I. My parents had already left, and I was living with my grandmother at the time. And they would show these American films like around 10 o'clock at night. And it was Julia Roberts' Pretty Woman. And that was my first American film I ever seen. It was dubbed into Chinese. So it wasn't like the best quality, right? Like if you ever seen a film dubbed, it just looks terrible. But I loved it. I fell in love. I mean, I remember for me, like my eyes sparked because it was just such a different world. I'd never seen a world like that before. You know, it was still quite gray where I came from. You know, it was a coal mining town in Northeast China. And we didn't really have stores yet at that time. You know, people were still wearing Chairman Mao suits. So to see like Rodeo Drive and to see a woman who was so fabulous and so like emotional was, it was just astounding. And so I think in my heart at that time, I wanted to tell stories because I wanted to build new worlds. But I kind of hid it. But yeah.
So how and when did you transition from the scientific you to the artistic you? When did your brain move from right to left?
I kind of moved back and forth because I started playing the piano when I was 5 years old, because you can't see my hands on the radio, but I have my hands can reach like over an octave. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was like, she should play the piano, like when I was born. And so I played the piano, but I loved art, so I loved to draw. So I was very visually inclined, and I would go to competitions for like, in Houston, I would go to like the rodeo country competitions every year and do quite well. So I was painting all the time. I would do science fairs. And then I was pressured a little bit to study biomedical engineering, but I also double majored in English at the time because I didn't want to, I knew I wanted to hold on to this artistic part of me.
How did the Texas lifestyle fit? Did you move right into that mentally when you moved into Texas? Even I know that Texas is part of the United States, and I worked there for 5 years. But even for somebody who's from this country, moving to Texas is an adjustment.
It was a huge adjustment. I mean, I just had no idea what was going on, I think. You know, as a kid, you're kind of just being moved around and being led to different cities because of your parents. And so I had no idea. I mean, to compare like Pretty Woman to Texas was like, what? I was like, at first I was like, this isn't America. Like, this is not what I saw.
Where's Julia when you need her?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was like, there's no Beverly Hills. There's no stores like that. You know, people are wearing boots and, you know, these, what are they called? Bolo ties.
Right.
So yeah, it was very different. And I was like, this is not America. Mm-hmm. But then it was started assimilating and grew fond of that culture.
Yeah, you kind of get, it kind of grows on you after a while. And it is very affable. There's a friendly atmosphere to it.
Sure.
A lot of your friends in school, you know, bring you along a little bit, help out with making you comfortable in the area, or the opposite, uncomfortable.
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I had one of the friends I first met, you know, the first thing she said to me was like, have you ever eaten a squirrel? And I was like, no, I haven't.
Did she offer you one after that or what?
She didn't.
In Texas, they do.
Yeah. Well, to this day, I haven't tried a squirrel. Oh, actually, I have. And they're quite delicious and they're very moist.
There's not much of them, though.
But she was one of the friendliest people I've ever met. But right, it was kind of a shock to be asked that. And then, you know, some people were not so nice. People didn't know how to pronounce my name, or if they did, they would laugh. It was really hurtful, and I didn't know how to deal with it.
So let's get to the film, because the reason that we met was because of the Queens World Film Festival. And you have a short film, which is called Cowboy Joe. Tell me the genesis of making the film Cowboy Joe. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite short, but it's impactful in its own way. But tell me about how you launched and produced and went through the process of coming up with Cowboy Joe.
Yeah, great question. So Cowboy Joe is about a Chinese cowboy. I think a lot of it was subconscious. I think just having grown up in China and Texas, I just wanted to be part of that world. And I never really thought that I was one, mainly probably because of my ethnicity or because of my name. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to externalize my internal desires, you know, and I'll make this guy a real breathing boy who wants to be a cowboy. And I was on a trip to Vermont, and I was just observing this guy who was Chinese American, and he had such a stubborn, defiant face. And I was like, okay, what would happen if this guy wanted to be a cowboy? Like, what would his parents do? How would the people around him react? And that's where the story kind of came from. And at the same time, I was watching Midnight Cowboy. So this short film is kind of an homage to that film as well.
From watching it, I sense that it could actually represent a lot of conversations that have occurred between Chinese young people and their parents.
Yes.
In a variety of disciplines, whether it's cowboy or not. I probably know 100 people that have had a similar conversation than the one that your cowboy Joe had with his dad in the restaurant about coming to grips with the fact he didn't want to follow the path that had been mapped out for him.
You know, as kids, I think we, at least for me, I really wanted my parents and the adults around me to support what I wanted to do in my life. And so this short film also covers that subject and how it feels for a kid to be rejected by his parents and to be told, you know, that's not possible for you is really heartbreaking. And how does that kid go on to map out their own life? It becomes a lot harder, actually, especially emotionally and intellectually. So I wanted to show that. I wanted to show what it felt like to be told you can't do something.
Part of your film, most of your film, is filmed right here in New York in Chinatown along Mott Street. It's basically a two-character show, two-character performance. How did you find the actors, the son and the father?
The son, I actually wanted to cast a real person because I like to cast real people, real character people in my films. And so I reached out to a few non-actors and they all told me no, and I tried to convince them, but they said no. So I had to cast through an online platform called Actors Access. And then for the father, it was really difficult to find an older Asian American actor. So I used a casting agent for him.
What is the status right now for people who'd like to see it? It's on Vimeo, correct?
It's on Vimeo. It's still screening around the country. And then it'll also be screening in Chicago, Cleveland International Film Festival. And this summer it'll screen at the Museum of the Chinese in America.
Well, that's really wonderful. And I hope people get a chance to take a look at it. I did see it from Vimeo. It's like $3 or something. It's not a big deal. It's not going to break the bank. Are you hoping, you know, what I was hoping was at the end of the piece after I saw it, there's a long scene, there's a long shot of your leading boy, and he's sort of sitting there in this wanderlust kind of blank look on his face. I kept wanting it to like dissolve to him out west sitting on the back of a horse, and then the next 2 hours is what happened to his life as a cowboy.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be your feature that you can follow up with.
Hopefully. it's really nice to hear about people's reactions and how they interpret that ending. I think you really have a very positive one. Some people do not have so much of a positive, like what they think is going to happen next. So it's really nice to hear the different perspectives.
Well, I was pretty sure that his 2 week notice to his dad to no longer work at the restaurant was the real deal, and I wish him well, and I hope he doesn't hurt himself falling off a horse. Our guest on Spectrum this week has been Jingjing Tian, and we thank you very much for stopping by. Her picture is called Cowboy Joe. That's really simple in English or Chinese, and it's available on Vimeo if you'd like to rent it and take a look at it. May eventually probably be able to buy it or download it and keep it around and share it with your friends and family. And if you're a Vimeo member, then, you know, it's right there. You know, just look it up. So what's next for you?
I'm in pre-production for my next short and my feature. So hopefully we'll be shooting that soon. So the short is called Till Death Do Us Part. And it's about this older woman in her 70s. And it's about her husband who passes away and as his body decays inside of their apartment, she believes that he's still alive. An unexpected friendship kind of snaps her back into reality. And then the feature, if you don't mind me talking about it, is called Mattress. And it's a battle woman who goes back to China after her grandmother passes away. And she kind of has this existential moment. And so she, instead of coming back to America, she decides to stay. And she keeps hanging out at IKEA and falling asleep there. And she meets this group of older people and finds a sense of belonging for the first time.
Hey, thank you so much for stopping by our studio. Good luck with your filmmaking and your other pursuits. And we'll try to follow up, as time passes.
Will do. Thank you so much, Steve.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.